Hello and welcome to the Tales from the Valley podcast. I'm your host Sam and I'm joined by fourth place getter at the Christchurch Marathon today, Russell Desai-Chin. How are you, Russ?
I'm very good, thanks Sam. Pretty satisfied, tired, and yeah, we'll just unpack the race, I guess, in a bit, but yeah, things are good. I'm very happy with how it went.
Yeah, you did good. Your first ever negative split.
Yep, first time for everything. Coach Hodges and Coach Tunbridge were very happy with me. Well, they are very happy with me. So, yeah, that's something to tick off. And I think it was, a bit of a learning curve for me. I've never negative splitted before. So it's definitely a new experience and something that it's a good way to run a marathon.
For sure. Yeah, and we'll get into your recap in a little bit. But we won't leave the listeners hanging. You're in 2:33:14.
Yeah, that's true. 2:33:17 without the net time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, don't let the Stradas bill you. That was not 2:31:06.
Yeah, nah. And I think as all the listeners probably were already guessing, I did not run the marathon. And in fact, I didn't run the half marathon. I dropped all the way down to the quarter marathon or the 10 points. Or they actually call the 10K, but it's like 10.55. I think they credit you a 10K split in that race, but you do jump to the quarter marathon distance, if you can call it that.
I think they call it a quarter marathon.
Yeah. So, I might run through what's kind of gone on with me over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I didn't really have a post or anything coming into the marathon because I was pretty unsure, to be honest. I've done pretty close to no running over the last 4 weeks since, I think since the 20K into, I think it was meant to be 3x5K, it ended up being 2x5K. Since then I've kind of been battling trying to get back into running. So what kind of happened there? I think when we spoke with Barry last time, I had strung together a few days, and that Monday I'd run. Tuesday was a day off, and then I think I ran Wednesday and Thursday, 8K on the Wednesday, which was okay. Then the shin started to get grumbly again, so clearly wasn't enjoying the consecutive days. So on the Thursday run, I was in Sydney that week actually for work, and I was just running around Pyrmont. I got about 8K of the 10K run in, or it might have even been, I think it was actually only 6K. And I could just feel it, and I had awareness, maybe a 3 or 4 out of 10. I just said to myself, this is pretty stupid to keep running on this. Like, I'm trying to hang on to, you know, what was a good bit of fitness I'd built up earlier, but it just wasn't realistic that I was going to run any kind of reasonable race, to be honest. So, yeah, I pulled up stumps when I had that thought and texted Toby and said, look, I don't think I'm going to do the half. This is a bit silly. I need to get this shin right. And then we kind of exchanged text a bit, and it was like, oh well, it'd be good to see the course because it is a lapped course in Christchurch. So I decided to run the 10.5k just in whatever shape really I could get into, because I wasn't going to do any running. And I was like, all right, I'll just do the 10.5k with no real expectations, and see what I can do on the day effectively. So I guess the last couple of days, my focus has just been looking after Russ a little bit, making sure he gets his nutrition right.
Carb coach.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Making sure he doesn't go and eat too much shit before the race, really.
I don't have so much shit.
or some of the right stuff anyway. That was kind of the focus. But Bella and I flew into Christchurch Thursday evening. So we touched down around 12:30 a.m. and we stayed at the Novotel, which is near the airport. Got a reasonable 8 hours. I took a sleeping pill, so I was a bit drowsy the following day. Yeah, and got out for a run that afternoon, probably just before we picked up Russ from the airport because we had the hire car. So I did a 10-minute run with 2 1-minute efforts. I think the 1 minute efforts were around 3:40, 3:45 pace. So felt pretty unnatural running after, you know, a week of no running and 4 weeks of very little running. But the heart rate data was suggesting I was actually, you know, I was quite low and I was going okay. So I was like, oh, okay. It was a pretty weird few days trying to gauge what I'd be able to do in the 10K. Yeah, so the following day I did, which is a Saturday, yesterday before today's race, I did like a little very small session. I'd had long enough to taper, so I wasn't really worried about doing too much, but I basically did, I think it was 18 minutes with 3 minute, 2 minute, and 1 minute efforts, all off a minute jog. And they're around, the 3 minutes was 3:48, 2 minutes was like 3:42 or something, and then the minute rep was like 3:31. So that was okay, but yeah, feeling pretty ordinary, still pretty hard to get a gauge on, you know, what I'd be able to run in the 10K.
You just lose your running conditioning so quick, even 4 weeks out. Like, it's just, guys, it's always that thing, you lose it quicker than you can make it back. Sucks.
Yeah, and even with the amount of cross training I'd been doing, I thought it might have felt a little bit better, but I've been doing, I think, 14 hours roughly of, you know, zone two stuff on whatever means possible, really.
Your heart rate's good, but your specificity would be just,
yeah,
it's under, you know, even those fine motor muscles that aren't being used by just running, they get out of shape.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. Anyway, we had a good day yesterday. We went to Hamna Springs. So I think it was like a hour and 40-minute drive north of Christchurch. So it was a really cool little town. It seemed like the town kind of gravitated around these springs where a lot of tourists went to. And effectively, there are all these pools with, you know, different temperatures ranging from 35 degrees to 40 degrees. With sulfur and magnesium in them. So that seemed like a pretty sensible way to spend the day before Russ's marathon. Russ decided to tag along with us.
Yeah, that was a 0.3 of the nuclear family, you know, Indian average family had 2.3 children.
Yeah, if the listeners didn't know, Russ is an ex-engineer, so he knows this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's statistics anyway. Yeah, no, that was nice. It was very relaxing, considering my legs were feeling a bit dodgy. That was good to get a bit of a salt safe. And then Carb Coach gave me a bottle of Gatorade to skull, which I did.
Beautifully. Yeah, made sure he got a bag of lollies down.
Oh, yeah, so many lollies.
On the way home. Yeah, and I was a bit, wasn't too pleased with his creamy fettuccine, where he said at lunchtime at the pub. But, yeah, that's okay. We can work with that. Seemed to do him quite well in the end.
I was pleased with it. It was delicious. And people who know me well would be very surprised that I actually left behind a lot of the creamy sauce and the vegetables in it. I just ate the pasta. It's not like me to usually waste food, but yeah, I didn't want to get my Carb Coach angry. He was already off me.
Already off then.
Speaking of carbs.
Yeah. So for my eating before the race, pretty usual kind of operation. Didn't need to carb heavily for a 10.5K, so just ate kind of normally throughout the day. And yeah, as ambassadors for the Christchurch Marathon event, we're invited to it was a bit of a collection of people who helped organise the event, as well as other ambassadors. So we popped in there for an hour. And I enjoyed a couple of non-alcoholic beers. I think Russ was on the waters.
Lemonade.
Yeah.
Lucky we didn't bet that there was pasta, though. I would have lost that bet.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah, I tried to warn him. It was all mini sliders and arancini balls and
venison on polenta.
Yeah.
Which is great if you're a person in a sparkly dress, but
yeah,
not out to a green ball.
Yeah, which is really good. We met a few They're big dogs in the New Zealand running community, so that was a bit of fun, or one or two at least.
Couple of them.
Yeah, mostly high-level people, the sponsors.
Councillors and stuff.
Yeah, people who ran the traffic and closed down the streets. So we drove around trying to find Russ and...
Actual dinner,
and we ended up driving to the Woolworths head office rather than an actual Woolworths. Probably because it's called Countdown over here, but...
Some are called Woolworths and some are called Countdown. It's really confusing.
Yep.
You can see the binder we're in.
Come on, Kiwis, grow up.
Get with the times, Kiwis.
Yeah, so fortunately there's a Domino's right next to our hotel. So we stayed at the Hotel Carlton Mills, which couldn't be more convenient. It was like probably a 10-minute walk from the start line, if that, like 7 or 8 minute walk.
Technically, more convenient would have been on the start
line. Well, you can care about that sort of year if you want.
No.
Might be better financially as well.
Well, if I'd have won some money today, maybe I could have reinvested it, but I didn't, so there.
Fair enough. this morning Russ and I met 6:30, so an hour before the race. We did our warm up together, kind of. I think we were wanting to find a bathroom. There was a public toilet. We avoided the portaloos at the event precinct, and we went to the public toilet. I unselfishly stood in line and told Russ to continue his warm down.
What a manager. What a carb cage.
Yeah. Well, and then we used the bathroom, and then we jogged back over to the elite tent, and Russ hadn't quite sorted out his hit yet. So he disappeared into the elite tent for 5 or 10 minutes, it seemed like. And I just jogged around the grass for about that 5 or 10 minutes. Right, really.
So you got longer warm up than me.
Yeah. I got like close to 2Ks probably. I think I maybe 1.8K or something. So I got a few like mini surges and stuff in. Like I wasn't taking this race overly seriously just because I had no gauge of what the effort was going to be like. But I jogged over us the start line. It was easy for him. He just slipped right in because he was in the elite marathon group. That was kind of my main priority this morning, is making sure Russ was all good. I was hoping he would have a good day. And I wasn't in any kind of shape to do too much. So I shuffled back because the free events, the 10K, the half, and the marathon were all together. It was super congested at the start line, and just went around the streets of Christchurch CBD, really, as well as Hagley Park towards the back end. I slid in. I went all the way to the back, and I'm like, I think it was like a 2-hour pacer for the half. And I'm like,
at the back, that's
heck. Yeah, those
I'm pushing the flight there or something.
And then the officials started to open up gaps in the gates. So I managed to work my way. So I went back out. I'm like, nah, this is stupid. I'm going to be. Going to take like 3 minutes to get up the front if I stay back here. So I got out and slid in with, I think, around the 90-minute pace group for half marathon. So that wasn't too bad. It was still pretty slow getting out, to be honest. But, the gun goes off. There was a guy, I think, trying to break 80 minutes for the half marathon. I kind of asked him what he was doing, and we both kind of worked our way to the, around 3:50 pace as the gun went off over the course of probably the first 2Ks, just because it was really congested again. And I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised, but a little bit surprised at how the fitness was. Like, felt quite naturally. I was running about probably for the first 5K, 3:50 pace, which, not having done any proper running probably more than a month, to be honest. I was pretty happy with how that actually went. I didn't want to go off too silly, and that just felt quite natural. So I think, the first 5K, just going through the city, and when you know you're only doing 10K, you kind of look at your watch and like, oh, this is going by pretty quick. I started to feel a little bit aerobically challenged probably after 5K, and it's just that endurance kind of aerobic thing that you don't have the conditioning or the sharpness or anything. And yeah, faded very quickly. So basically ran the first half in about 3:50 pace and the second half in closer to 4 minute pace. I think all of my Ks on my Garmin were under 4 minutes, which was kind of just a mini goal I had for the morning. Had no real gauge of fitness over the last couple of weeks or anything. So, yeah, I thought that would be a reasonable challenge, and I'd feel like a part of the event, really. And that was the main kind of goal this morning. Yeah, to just have a bit of fun out there and run what I could run, really. So I then for the 10.55 kilometers, I ran about 31:30, which, yeah, it was 3:55 pace, which was my goal marathon pace at the start of this block. So yeah, it's quite funny looking back and how challenging that was today to do for 10.5 Ks.
Just looking at your splits now.
Yeah.
Not bad. Although your list 5K was a 4 minute K. So
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. Sure. No, so yeah, just do enough to feel like I've earned a couple of beers tonight and enjoy the rest of my holiday with Bella. So we'll road trip down to Queenstown this week. And yeah, in terms of what's next for my running, I've kind of made the decision to not pick out any races. I think the next marathon I'm going to do is 12 months from now at Christchurch Marathon, because it was really good conditions. It was very flat and, you know, good community vibe. It's, yeah, it was good to be ambassadors for the event as well. I did a great job organising it. What are you laughing at?
You didn't do much ambassadoring.
I dropped my suit over for nothing. Did you actually bring a suit?
No, I didn't bring a suit.
Well, how cheesy, bro.
Brought my brand spanking new ASICS uniform. That's my suit.
I spoke to John, who I'd been coordinating with on some of the social medias and updates from our side of how we were traveling. I think we'll probably have a goal to drag a few more from WTC over next year.
Yeah.
If you want to do it again.
Stefan will definitely come. It's come to the motherland, surely.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Wellington. He'd prefer to be out of Wellington, but that's windy.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly, according to him.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress. I guess the goal for me is just going to be to build back up really slowly now. I assume there's going to be some warp jogging in there and some fun things like that. I'm going to get myself a bike so I can get off the elliptical and...
like a road bike or like a hybrid or...
A road bike that I can slip into a stand on and do sessions and stuff at home.
Get on the Zwift.
Yep, Zwift. That's the plan, really.
Deadly out there on the roads, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'll allegedly work my way back up from the 5K, the 10K and a half to the marathon over the course of a few months, however long it takes. So a bit of a blank canvas for me, and it's obviously been a pretty disappointing build for me in terms of what happened. But, happy with how it's ended, happy Russ had a really good day, and the podcast has been super fun and successful as well, and this prep's kind of been a precursor to that, so there's definitely positives I can take out of the prep. I remember how well I was doing 5 or 6 weeks ago, so... I just need to stay confident that there's good things to come for my running. Maybe not in the near future, but probably the next 2, 3, 4 months.
Look, distance running is a game of patience. It's a long distance event, and it takes a long time to get to where you want to be, because it just takes miles and miles and days and months of patience work. So nothing ever happens instantly with a marathon or any distance event, really. You've just got to... ask any, elite, sub elite, or just even a rec runner who does okay. Like, it's just making that phone book, counting in day in, day out.
Yeah, I think previously I've probably fallen into the trap of just like picking out races because I'm like, oh, I want to go do that race. That'd be cool if I can run a good time there or get on the podium.
That's why we did Christchurch, right?
I didn't think I was getting on the podium here, but no, I think
time.
I think it was a pretty sensible choice at the start of the year, to be honest, and to run a marathon. But yeah, I can't think of another one that I really want to do at this stage. And I think one thing I've kind of neglected is improving my shorter distance PBs. One, I've never raced a 10K. I've raced a 10.55K now, in awful shape. But yeah, like definitely first cab off the ranks, going to try and, you know, significantly improve on my 5K PB. I don't think it's really aligned with some of my training and other experiences now. And then just work up slowly, build up the mileage slowly, and build up strength in the gym and all of those things just really carefully over the course of the next 12 months. That's kind of the plan now. So clean slate. For a few personal reasons, a lot more of my running is going to be down in the Bega Valley for the coming months. So really excited to try and find as many runners as possible down in the Bega Valley to talk to and talk about over the course of the next few months. And also talk about all the awesome running spots, Tafra Bega, Marimbula, that we get to run around when we're down there.
And Dr. George, if you're Dr. George, you can actually, and that's actually going to be Tales from the Valley, Authentico.
Yeah, yeah. We did a bit of running in Jamboree, that's a valley, technically, but
not the valley, not the valley we refer to.
This valley. Yeah, one of the gags today running around Christchurch is that there's so many nice roads with trees on either side. It really looks like Poplar Avenue in Bega. Like a homage to the artwork.
Oh yeah, the podcast artwork. Yeah.
Forgot about that, even though it's on the back of our t-shirts.
Yeah, our t-shirts we've been wearing proudly around Christchurch and no one knows what the hell's going on, but I know you told that guy last night about it.
Yeah, no.
Yep.
Actually,
that's up.
Yeah, I've been working on a website basically for a little bit, which I'm hoping to get up in the next month or so, but it just is going to take a few days of me sitting down walking through it. And yeah, with that will probably come some merchandise, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But you might see a couple of scarce Tales from the Valley podcast t-shirts getting around, so don't worry, they're coming.
Get around them while they're rare as hen's teeth. They might be worth some money back in the future.
Coming to a hyperlink near you.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the boring part of the episode. We're going to get into the Russell Desai Chin. I'll announce his name correctly now that he's negative split a marathon.
And yes, go on, say it. You respect me now.
Oh, shit. I just got to go wash my mouth out.
You're proud of me, Anna. I love it.
We'll hand it over to you and just tell us what the last couple of weeks are like. I've heard you still having coughing fits and stuff, so pretty impressive that you're able to pull off the run you did today. So, walk us through your taper, then we'll get into the race recap.
Yeah, let's go. Well, it was 2 weeks, wasn't it? I thought we,
Just overall mileage and sessions is
really
all right.
I've got my gum up. I don't have my training diary here, so I can't refer to that, but I'll just go through quickly.
I remember you. Let's start with your 4K time trial.
Do you want to go to 4K time trial? Yeah, let's do that one. The controversial 4K time trial. So it was a pretty easy week. I'd just come back from Canberra, hadn't I? And we did the recording with Baz and went on to... Oh, yeah, I swapped things around. I did the Climo loop on the Tuesday at a steady pace, 4:26s, and had an easy day Wednesday. Then I organised with Liam Hendo Henderson, who's going quite well, to run a 5K time trial on the bike track on the green path. And we've got my mate Cam Drivers to get on the bike and do some pacing at the front for us. And I think the time trial went quite well. I did 80% of it.
DNF.
I DNF'd it basically. But I got the 4K and I was at average 3:08. It was 12:34 and I'm like, was starting to rig a bit. And Hendo would drop me like it was hot in the K between 3 and 4 anyway. He was he was on a tear. And so I just thought it was wise. I remember we spoke to Baz, and Baz said that Troopy and Monty used to 3K, and that was good enough for them. And I could hear the, I read between the lines, Baz. I read between the lines, but I was keen to do 5K anyway, just for my head confidence sake. So in my mind, I guess there was that compromise between Baz suggesting very strongly that I do 3K only, and then my own head / ego wanting to do 5K. So that's why I was more than satisfied with 4K at 308. That was good enough.
I think he was just being factual, to be honest. Yeah, it's a bit of a thing they used to do.
That's why I brought, 100%.
I don't think he was having a go.
Well, he wasn't having a go, but I feel like Baz can correct me on this, but I feel like he was sort of, coaching the uncoachable.
Yeah.
Anyway, FYI, Liam ran on to run 15:31, I think it was, for the 5K. So he was flying. It's great. It's great. Great to see him going. He was very, very promising junior and sort of went away from the sport for a bit and came back and going really well. So we're like, we should get him on at some point. Maybe him and Alex Seal as a team, because I've been running with them a fair bit in the last few months. They've been my new young bloods. So I've given Harm and him to the fleet because they're too slow for me.
JP Morgan, corporate challenge, second place.
Who's that?
The Seal.
Oh, Alex. Yeah, nice. No, Harm and Hintz, I love you, and I can't wait to come back to the run with the young bloods when my quads are back to feeling normal.
So did JP Morgan else?
Yeah, that's your own pep podcast, mate. I don't want anything to do with that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a 12:34 for 4K. More than satisfying. So that was a good little time trial.
What's the average pace lab? I don't think anyone.
308. 308. Cool. We went at Liam went off the rocket up his ass. It was like we ran 250 for the first 500-600 meters, and I'm yelling at him to slow down because I knew that 250 was not sustainable for either of us. And we slowed down to a 304 or something. So then easy day. I think it was all easy days from then. I gave myself the time trial. I thought, just relax. Oh, no, here's a session on the Saturday, 10 by 1 minute. It actually felt pretty good. I started off sluggish the first 2 1-minuters, and then in the magic speeds, not in the juice boots, and started feeling pretty good by the end of it. And I think I was running the 1 minute pace at around just 3 minutes, which was good signs. On Sunday, thought I'd be a social butterfly. I went down to the Shell Harbour Running Festival. There was a bunch of WTC boys racing in the half, the full, and the 10K, not in that order. And also Katie Mahaney, she was in the 10K. So I met up with Mitch and Liam Hendo and Alex Seal, and we set off up the coast and then ran into the other crew that had started early, which included Frosty and Steph and Charles and Brandon. I think that was the full roll call. I missed anyone, I'm sorry. And we got to watch, it was really cool watching everyone run. We watched the Manta Ray in his marathon, and Tunners and Daylight second in the 10K. Big engine, the full steam. It was good to see. And Katie was behind him, a little way behind, but she was actually second overall, which is pretty cool. And who else did we see?
Probably a shout out to Chris Avery, who won the marathon as well. I haven't met Chris, but it seemed like a pretty emotional and good breakthrough for him. So good on him. He ran the marathon in 2:50.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so solid day.
It did get pretty warm in the back half that morning. It started off quite nice, and then by midday, so it would have, especially the 5K and 10K, they were held up a bit later, so it was long. That was my long run. I did 21.1K. Guess why? And Hendo and I got moving on the very last K. We did a 3:37 just to spin the legs over. And then began taper week. So I tried something different with this taper. I thought I would call it an aggressive taper, which seems like an oxymoron, but anyway. I did, half a Monday Arvo boys jog. So I did, my taper was going to be, all my jogs were 5K only and then 2 light sessions. So Monday was 5K with the Monday Arvo boys, Frosty, Mike McCartney, Hendo, who else was there? Bradley Holland, B-Rad. That was in a little jog. Well, I'd let them at after 2.5K, so it was barely a jog with the boys. Tuesday. So I had a good chat with Tanners, actually. We drove back after Shell Harbour Running Festival, and he suggested that, well, we spitballed the week, and we swapped. I was going to do the 8x300s on the Thursday and half mono on Tuesday. And we decided that I should swap the 300s to Tuesday and then do a 10 minutes, not the half mono, 10 minutes tempo / possible race pace, i.e. 330s on the Thursday. So I did the 8x300s on Tuesday and did them on the road next to the green path in the juice boots. And no, actually it wasn't, it was in Magic Speeds, which are pretty much juice boots these days. And the 300s felt amazing. I didn't want to run actually like the 330 race pace, but I thought if I do like 320s, 315s pace, that we just get my legs moving in my head in the right frame of mind for that pace. And the first 300 was like 55 seconds, which is just over 3 minute pace. And I was trying to sort of relax and hold myself back, and my legs just wanted to go that fast. So I just let them do what they wanted to do and ended up probably averaging 54 seconds for 8x300s. And then I did a 9x300 deliberately at 330 pace, and I felt like I was walking, almost fell over. So I guess that's a flex as well.
So can you walk us through what you'd normally do for a taper, if that's your kind of aggressive taper? I mean, two sessions in there.
Two light sessions. A normal taper I would have run 10 or 12K with the boys on the Monday at easy, like at the usual hour, 5 minute pace. I would have done the half mono on the Tuesday. I probably would have run 10 to 12K on a Wednesday. And Thursday, I would have done the 8x300s or 8x200s even. And then Friday would have been maybe 8K. Saturday would have been 4 or 5K.
Right.
So basically, I just...
Load decrease.
Yeah, just a real low decrease.
Rather than a session.
Yeah, sessions didn't really change at all.
No.
Just swap them around, though. I've never done the 300s so far out from the rings. So that's what changed. But that was Tanner's suggestion, and it was fine. So, yeah, Wednesday, once again, nothing. It was 5K job. I think I did that with Jupiter. So I was on holidays. School holidays. Woo! So the tempo was, I got a 3K tempo, and 330s was the pace. I ended up running 3K because I just couldn't bear to do 10 minutes and be 2.6K. So I just ran the extra half a minute, and I didn't do 4,400 meters. It would have been 2.8K or something. So I just went to 3K because I like nice even numbers, and that was at 3.5 minute pace. It wasn't as easy as I would have liked. I would have liked to have felt like I was jogging. Like it was relaxed, but it just didn't feel bouncy. Maybe I spent all my bikies in the 300s and bit out trumming. But anyway, I got it done. That's good enough. Then flew to Christchurch on Friday. Almost didn't get the run in because the flight was delayed by a freaking hour. Thanks, Qantas. Still love you. But I did do... I got... After Sam and Bella picked me up, took me back to the hotel, I went straight out for a run. The hotel was very conveniently placed, as Sam said, right on the start where the course enters Hagley Park. So I did the last 3.5K, which is quite good, and it's still light, so I got to see what it was like, and just jogged quite nicely around, and then had a look at the finish line, got a bit of inspiration, a bit of inspo, and then after ticked over 4K, I thought I'll just open up the carburetor a bit and sprinted the last 300 meters just as a stride. So that was good. That's a good bit of cheeky recce. And yesterday, some more cheeky wrecking. Did the first 2K jog from the hotel down to the start, and then went down the first 200K turns. Did a fair bit of the course, actually. Just missed the eastern part of it. So I got all up, I probably got about 6 or 7K of the whole course wrecked properly, which is really good. And did some strides after that. Strides they felt shit, to be honest, but... You know, it's taper week. That's what happens.
What's wrecked, man?
Wrecked?
Yeah.
Reconnaissance. It's French for we're going to go check that place out before we go there.
Yeah, right. Recognize?
Not recognised, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, cornerstone.
You're pretty liberal with the French things, aren't you? You pick and choose the ones that suit you.
Absolutely them all. Yeah. So race day, which is today,
Yeah.
is a unique, very special edition of Tales from the Valley from the race site.
It is.
Appreciate it, y'all.
I'm your official manager this morning.
Yes, my official manager, Sam Hodges, made sure I was up on time. Well, I wasn't up at the time he would have liked me to be up, that's for sure. I got up at just before 6, had a cup of tea, had a couple of goose drip waffles, ate the last jelly snake.
You want to Australianise that one for anyone who's
What?
not super familiar with?
A jelly snake?
No, you talk about goo, goo
Goose
and
waffle. Stroopwafel was like that's the name of it. It's like,
oh, goo, goo waffle.
yeah, it's just a waffle. Like, a stroopwafel is Dutch, as Harm will tell you.
Considering I'm
Which
sitting
means,
here and unable to convert it to Australian, it might be handy for our listeners.
I think people will get it, especially if you like your goose stuff. Stroopwafel, I think, means syrup waffle. Correct me. So, yeah, that was my pre-race nutrition, that and a cup of tea. Met Sam, and Bella, and we walked briskly down to the start line. As Sam said, we got like a K or so in warm up. Had to do a bit of, it's more important to go to the toilet. Sam very generously stood in line for me, made sure I got to the toilet, and then back to the tent. Bit of a rushed getting ready, getting my meta speeds on, getting my goos packed into my back pocket.
Arm sleeves.
Arm sleeves generously provided by my manager because I've lost my ASICS one somewhere in transit.
Chemist Warehouse, $20.
No, they're not. I'm going to have to get ASICS branding ironed onto them.
Well, they're no brand.
They're no brand, that's right. Chemist Warehouse. I don't think ASICS are going to care if I'm using, as long as I'm using any of our rivals
Pretty
we
good to
mentioned.
like that you can go and get compression stuff from Chemist Warehouse. That's just
Probably not in
brilliant.
New Zealand. You wouldn't have them in Australia, surely.
I got them in Australia.
Oh, I stand corrected. I mean, I sit corrected. So, where are we up to? Oh, yeah. So, time ran out to do strides and drills, unfortunately for me. I got 1.2K of jogging in. That was pretty much it. A bit of jumping on the spot in the start line. So that's probably the worst warm-up I've ever had for a marathon. But
Might have done you well.
considering the prep, I guess it's just goes been along. It's part of the journey of this marathon. But I was warm enough and not ever been too anxious about doing a huge run. So the race, it was actually really interesting. It was really cool. And like I said, I'm Australia. It was actually fun. The way that it was run, it's a bit chaotic at the start because you got the 10K and a half all at once. And I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was. But then I realized it was actually a bit of an advantage because all these half marathoners, if they're going at, say, 74, 75 minutes, then I can just sit in and mooch off them for half a marathon. I'm going to actually, most of my marathons, I've ended up on my own. So, running a poor, lonely race. So I found a couple of people, some bloke who was the most popular dude in Christchurch. It was pretty much like running with me around Wollongong. His name was Simon. Didn't even have to introduce himself to me because I knew his name was Simon after about 2K. Everyone was, "Hey, Simon, go, Simon. On you, Simon." He was only doing the half, but he was running exactly the time that I was hoping to, try and get the first half done. So to backtrack a bit, Sam and Coach Tunners were very insistent that I run relaxed and try a negative split. Sorry, Coach MF as well. Coach MF told me the negative split. So my three of my coaches told me to try something different, just go out relaxed and negative split. So I thought, 74, 75 minutes would be a relaxed first half. And so this dude was running 3:37 or something. So I ran with him for a bit. And then this other guy came and joined the pack. His name is Dave. And his PB was
David
2:45.
Bromsley.
David Wansley, his PB is 2:45, I think. He
Yep.
told me.
On debut as well.
Debut, and he wanted to run 2:32, he told me. So I'm like, sweet.
Did he?
And there's him, or to me, 2:35. Someone wanted to run 2:32.
Yeah,
Maybe it was me. And we had a little pack. We lost Simon for after the first lap. And Dave and I agreed, we agreed it was quite novel to have all these half marathoners around us. So we were sitting on the packs and then they'd die and we'd go move on to the next pack up. So we're running around 3:37, 3:38 for this whole time. once again, it was quite new for me to have packs that I could run with, which was just to sit in and zone out and just get into a nice rhythm. So that was a really good aspect of this mass start marathon. And the crowds, well, at that point, you weren't dodging anyone too with this last couple of laps.
So with the half marathoners, were you kind of sitting in behind them? Was there a bit of a pack that you could just switch off in?
Well, Dave and I we'd see it. We were on a pack and then they'd start dying, like start running 340s. And we're like, oh, this is too slow for us. Let's move on. So we'd kick. So I'd you know, do a bit of a surge, or Dave would do a bit of a surge up to the next pack. And we'd sit on them for a bit until they became too slow. And then, so we sort of just, it's actually working quite well.
How would you rate the effort out of 10 for the first half, I guess? Were you kind of at a 4 or 5 out of 10?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
I don't know if not easily sounds that. It wasn't easily, but it was very relaxed. I was hardly breathing. I should check my heart rate, but I think I was,
Fact check
that shit. Go on. So that was good because, like, I never get to sit in a pack in marathons, really. That's just before halfway, Dave, this guy Simon came past us, huffing and puffing and breathing. Sam Jones's favorite thing for someone to do when they're running near him. And he started to kick home for his half marathon and with about 2K to go, 1.5K. And Dave went with him. And would have been at 3:30, maybe sub 3:30 pace. And I was still trying to be smart and conservative, so I let them go. And I thought, well, if it's only his second marathon, it's very likely he'll come back to me at some point. So I just kept my own rhythm, 3:38s, 3:37s. Went through halfway in 77.05. Yeah, because it was 76.09 second half.
Yeah.
So 77.05 through the half, which was a bit slower than, well, I wanted a 75, didn't I? So it's slow, but I was like, whatever. Like, you know, the prep, as you all know, listeners, has been less than ideal. All the injuries and illnesses, the whooping COVID's still been beleaguering. Beleaguering me anyway.
I think for some context, he's been hanging out with us the last couple of days. He's been breaking out with coughing fits quite regularly, so it's pretty ridiculous that he can go and run a Lewis 2:33, even though maybe it's not affecting you.
It's not in my lungs. It's just in my back of my throat or the side of the lungs. I don't feel like it's a bronchitis sort of thing. It's just really irritating. And then if it's a really bad fit, I feel my throat flows over like aspirin.
Has it made you worried coming into this race?
Yes. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit anxious. I thought, am I going to conk out, die on this case? There was that thought. Am I going to have a mad asthma attack and have to be revived? So that was at the back of my mind, to be honest. But I don't know. The fact that I feel normal outside of the coughing fits also made me confident that I'm going to get through the business. I mean, if I had a bad episode, then I'll just stop and regather and relax and all that. So fortunately, I only had one mini coughing fit probably at 25, 26K, I think it was. And that was basic because a bit of my goo drink went down the runway and it just set it off. So yeah. I just had to sort of relax then, let my throat sort of open up again. Well, not my throat, but my larynx open up again.
So, I guess in terms of where you're at with the race, you're able to sit in. You're in your third lap. The 10.5K lap now, and you're probably far more solo now. And well, David's taken off and you're being patient.
Yeah, I was being patient. I could still see him up ahead. He was only 100 metres ahead.
Yeah, right.
And at halfway in my mind, and always in the race, because of what you guys, more my coaches had said, negative fit. So I automatically, without even thinking, as soon as I hit the start of the third lap, I just started increasing my cadence and my pace, and I went straight to 3:30 pace. From 3:38s, and started just gradually hunting Dave down. And I knew the fact that he was coming back to me so quickly meant that he wasn't running as fast as it would have indicated. And I asked him, got up to him about what would have been 23K maybe. And I said to him, and he's like, oh, go on without me. I'm like, no, let's see if I can help you out a bit. Because I'm like, we said we're going to.
You're cruising. By the way, I'm looking at heart rate. It doesn't go over 160 for the whole race. Like, this is risk based, obviously. Yeah. So take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, like that's pretty telling if you've used this as a guide before.
Telling of what, the good even race?
Like less than, really, to be honest. Like,
but less than,
like, you know, you're probably quite relaxed for most.
Yeah.
Even though, well, that's kind of what the marathon is, right? You're relaxed.
Yeah, you're never meant to go into anaerobic or nothing until the last. Even what about my last one?
No, it gets lower.
Yeah, so that's the optical. That's the shit out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I called Dave and we ran together for about a K. And then he stopped for some water, or slowed for some water. I slowed for him. He caught back up. And then I went around some people and then there was just a gap. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep going now, like back up to maybe 3:30s or something, 3:32s. That was on my end then. And then I started, you can sort of tell, because there's still, I'm running through all the marathon, all the lapping marathoners and lapping half marathoners. You can sort of tell when there's a good marathon up in front of you, because they're sort of running to the right and they're just running past, they're passing heaps of people. So I think there's three dudes that I passed in the last lap and a half, which is, that's also good as well. That's inspirational. As anyone knows, like passing people is good to the ego and gives you a bit of inspiration. So I was running 3:30s and I was hoping that I was going to keep about 30, but then my quad started getting sore. And there's that old, the old marathon chest started. You feel like you're running fast and you look down and you're running 3:45s and like, dang it. But once again, didn't panic because I was like, you know, I'm not totally marathon conditioned. I'm doing well. I'm passing dudes. Just enjoy it. And so I knew I was going to negative sleep.
What pace was this? Where in the race?
Let's say probably the last 12, 13K.
Yeah. So when your quad started to get sore towards the back end of the third lap.
Yeah. Probably halfway through the third lap, started to feel it. So I was just trying to think, tell my, you know, then in mind games start working. I was telling myself about the gym work I've been doing, thanks to Will, prep physio. Just being strong, trying to keep light on my feet. And that worked. Like, I think my K sort of oscillated between 3:40s and 3:33s, like just depending on the road surface or if I was chasing down a dude. I missed my last goody drink with four and a half K to go, but that didn't bother me. Like, I was annoyed for about 10 microseconds. And then I remembered I had half a goo in my back pocket already. So I just scoffed that down and that got me through the last 4K. And I just, yeah, I was the last couple of K, I, you know, the classic Desai chin sprint home. I think 3:30s. I think the last K was a 3:26 or something. And I knew I was at the top end of the field, but I didn't want to get my hopes up. So I told myself I was coming fifth or sixth. And then I got to the finish and one of the chicks at the finish line was like, oh, you came third. And I'm like, oh, sweet. She said, but we're not sure if you came. Well, we're not actually sure if you came third or fourth. Can you just hang around and we'll let you know? And I'm like, well, that's great. And then I found my manager and he said, you came fourth. And I guess I was disappointed at the time because I'd been told I came third. But then I remembered I'd been telling myself that I came fifth or sixth and so I should be happy with fourth. And so then I was happy with fourth. And there endeth the story, children.
Yeah, no, very good. A couple of quick questions for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're running with David and you were kind of trying to help him out there. Do you think that was the right move to slow down a bit and help him? Like, I know it's camaraderie and everything, but do you think there's an opportunity to start pushing on that?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But, you know, I knew I wasn't going to run.
Like an easy option kind of thing, but there was no one up ahead. So,
well, it's not that I knew of. And I was, like, third place was 5 minutes in front of me, so I was never catching him.
Yeah.
And that the only negative thing about this mass start thing and everyone running is you actually don't know where you're, unless you've got someone, thanks manager, on the sideline telling you where you are placed and how far people are in front of you. You've got no idea where you're placed in the race. If I'd have been told I was the fourth and third up ahead, it wouldn't have made any difference because I was not making 5 minutes up on that guy. Isn't it? Like, I'd have to, yeah. That wasn't happening.
So some companies probably sensible and make it.
Yeah, I thought I'd have a bit of relax and I genuinely wanted to help him because, of course, even though he bailed on me.
He's a good fella.
Even though he bailed on me, he was just trying to do his thing. And, you know, my wise old marathoner experience showed when I caught up to him without panicking, and he busted his nut.
The surge probably hurt him, but he seemed like obviously it's his second marathon, pretty inexperienced. He's obviously held on pretty well based on how you're describing it. Like, it could have been a massive blow up, but I think he said to us when we were chatting to him, he didn't let his Ks go above 4 minute Ks. So he obviously fixated on that.
Yeah. Well, that sometimes is out his mind.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was doing this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran for a while, but,
he ran a 10 minute PB or so. So that,
Cool. How's the atmosphere out there? How'd you find it?
It was good. I think once again, like when you do other big city marathons and they go out into the back blocks and the burbs, there's a lot of dead areas. And whereas here was, if it's in the CBD, you've got pretty much people the whole way.
Yeah.
Everywhere, which is actually really cool, because no matter who you are, whether you're elite, sub-elite, recreational runner, you are, the crowd G's you up. Then they don't know who you are. They tell you to keep going, even though it's trite as, but the crowds are cool. And Christchurch had that in plenty. And the scenery was great. There was no dead spots. There were no dead spots in Christchurch. So I rate it, like I said, in Strava again. I would come back, hopefully in a fitter place, and have a proper crack at it. Like, would recommend it to anyone who wants to run a PB, because I think it's a course you can do it on.
Yeah.
Dead flat. And I've never done a lapped marathon before, but I actually really enjoyed it. And maybe because that comes from my 10K, 25 lap background, the mental aspect of doing laps doesn't get to me, but there was something about going around and landmarks that you saw on the first lap, the second lap, you look forward to, or you see it and you know how far you're going. I mean, I went on Street View and went through the course earlier this week anyway, as I usually do for my marathons. And so there were already landmarks that I had in my mind before the race, but yeah, doing the laps is cool. There's definitely nothing wrong with it. Just running into people on a couple of the narrow paths, especially in Hagley Park, was a bit annoying. But once again, it's part of the race. And there's some really nice open spots and some really nice surfaces to run on as well. Although that tennis club part was pretty awful.
Yeah.
But it's only, 300 meters of cracks and divots and speed humps and, you know, a bit of cross country. Kiwis love the cross country.
Yeah, you just have to be careful for probably, a minute through there, maybe. But less than that, probably 30 seconds, right?
No, it's just 30 seconds. Sure. I reckon it was a minute.
So, why'd you correct me when I said a minute?
You had 30 seconds, didn't you?
I said a minute initially, and then you're like, a minute? And then,
anyway.
We don't have to call the listeners.
Without calls.
All right, we're calling the podcast now. Yeah, but look, that may be, maybe if there's more feedback like that, that may get, you never know, it's a pretty easy area to resurface or something.
Mm.
Pretty easily fixed. Go on, council, get on it.
Yeah, get on the council.
Prostitutes council.
Got in the year of people at the meeting.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am very satisfied with today. And given the prep, I think that's as good as I could have expected. You asked me earlier, could I have gone any quicker, Sam? And I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe if I didn't slow down for Dave and a couple of the Ks, I could have figured out. But you never know. I think maybe at max, maybe a minute quicker. It wouldn't, and, you know, what's the difference, really?
That's a lot.
Well, I'm happy with almost a minute negative speed. Well, you're happy with it, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I guess, skewing away from the race and more to you personally, having negative split one, have all of your marathons prior to this been like significant positive splits?
Yeah.
So not a really good name.
No.
Yeah. So do you reflect on this one and think it's something that you're going to pursue moving forward as a strategy? Or do you think you left too much on the table in the first half? I know you're happy today, but it's a question.
I'd like to employ that strategy when I'm proper marathon fit. Yeah. Ask me again when I'm proper marathon fit.
And you can probably acknowledge after doing it today that you actually do have to be quite relaxed in the first half to
Whether you run 320s or 330s or 340s, it was actually really fun, like I said, in the packs, which I hardly ever get to run in and to be so relaxed.
It's a different experience, right? Yeah. Like it's you're running through the field, like I guess it's pretty lonely out there today, being at the pointy end.
Oh, I was never lonely though, like because there was always people around. Because the other marathons I've done, like you're just out in the deadlands on your own. They were having those, even if they were 10K runs or half marathon, or having a run. So yeah, it was very fun marathon. It definitely a really good experience. I think this was my 7th or 8th marathon. I remember. It's probably sneaking into my top 5 marathons.
Sick. Yeah, no, I am, as I said earlier, I think my next one's going to be here in 12 months and actually get to do it next time. So at least I've done the whole course.
Yeah, exactly. Just got to do it 4 times. Yeah.
Maybe how did you find the nutrition, like picking up your personal drinks on the side?
That was pretty good. It was pretty chaotic when you imagine the 3 races going on, or the races, which one to drink. I don't think anyone wanted drinks in the 10K, surely. But they had a couple of times early on, people saw my number and they ran looking for the drinks. But I had such a good little token coming off my drink bottle that I found it before them anyway. So that worked really well, except for the last one that I missed. But nutrition went well. I just did my normal goo and water mix. I had to put a bit more water on this time, because I think in Sydney I definitely stuffed up by not putting enough water in, not even respecting the heat. So my goo salted caramel deliciousness worked out really well, and at the right moments too. I think I had the first one was 11K, then 19K, 27K, 32K. I was meant to have one at 37, but that was the one I missed. So that was, I got 4 drinks, and then, but I had always had the emergency goo stashed in the back of my tights, and that got me through.
And you can just get water with the emergency goo anyway.
No, I didn't have water.
Yeah, and given the lap course, like, you know, if we knew what it was going to be like today, we almost could have, well, I could have given you drinks, right? Because there's no personal drinks available on the first lap.
Yeah, I didn't need the first lap. That's fine. Okay, I usually have it because it's there, but maybe that's you're not going to get it's 10, 11 Ks.
But if you wanted insurance policy in case you missed one, like Mandela could have been holding one out at
you. Yeah, if you read the rules, you can only do it at the aid station. You can't just do it randomly on the course.
Fire red.
Yeah, you had to be at an aid station, which you could have done easily. We could have worked that out. But you guys had to, you were spectating and you had your race to think about as well. So the missing that last drink was nowhere near a disaster. Like I had my emergency goo for exactly that situation.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, I think that's a pretty positive recap of both your race and the event. I think next year, Russ and I'll be on a bit of a mission if you want to do it next year, but I certainly will be aiming for that, to drag a few more locals from Wollongong and the South Coast over with us and have a big crew over there, because it is an unreal event.
And it's a nice city too.
It's pretty congested, but you know, that can work in your favour. There's plenty of packs to slide into early.
Slide into.
Yeah.
Vans.
No comment. But look, I think for Russ and I, the podcast has exceeded our expectations, to be honest. And this Christchurch training has really just been something to give us a little bit of structure to put this together each week. We've got to probably catch up with a couple more of the people who ran some marathons in Japan earlier this year, Frosty and Charl, having a bit of a reunion show there. And then also Dan Squires's, need to look up his result actually, but London Marathon was on today. So I'll look to have a recap with him. Yeah, whenever it starts, I don't know. I couldn't be bothered checking the time zone now. But those kind of few recaps and interviews with some past guests will probably cap us off for season one. And we'll look to change the structure slightly next season. So that's something for the listeners to look forward to. It'll be more of a weekly show kind of set up next time around, with some popular segments, with some familiar faces and voices. So yeah, lots to look forward to. But a big big thank you to all the listeners on the South Coast for getting behind us. It's made this you know, sometimes people call these things kind of a thankless task because we're not doing it for money or anything like that. But yeah, I think we've been able to even improve the running community along the South Coast a little bit, even though it's already fantastic. We just get to talk about it and give everyone something to listen to on a weekly
on their long run.
On a weekly basis. Yeah. So, you know,
it's been fun. I never thought I'd be a podcaster.
Yeah. Nah. So, yeah, thank you for everyone for getting behind us. And as for Christchurch Marathon, we hope to bring some more numbers next year because it is a really good event. Yeah, and we'll stack out the Hotel Carlton Mills because it's probably the premium location for this marathon, to be honest.
Yeah, it's good. Very comfortable.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Russ. Great race.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you for managing me. Thanks, Carlo, Coach. And thanks to Coach Tunners and Coach MF and there we go, Coach Baz and
Bella everyone. Carrying our shit.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Coach Bella.
Yeah. Coach Bella. Yeah. Yeah. we both left that one. Yeah, well, we're gonna go get on the beers, so
I don't drink.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you. Flock of feeding moments in the bugs bleeding me dry while I'm stuck outside on the coldest night singing home seek lullaby. You're the tax and you're the toll. You're the star among the stripes. You were the thief down in the street just the other night. There was something that was stolen. It wasn't dollars, cents or dimes. You took my breath and you stole my head. Now I'm singing. Don't get carried away, my dear. Not alone in your tears. 'Cause I will love you in a letter. Fold it into a plane and fly it back to you someday. Fly it back to you again, my friend. Again, I'll fly back to you, my friend. Another lesson I could learn. Already known to self, written on a postcard, forever featured on my shelf. Feels like I'm down and you are up, like gravity pulled me to the sky. Hold me out of here, the southern hemisphere, so I can sing to you my homesick lullaby. You're not a page that I could flip, not a paperback novel or compendium, or a chapter that's bound to anything. Ain't no spine to pin you together. No numbers, press leaves or feathers. You're the melody on the harmony we're singing. Don't get carried away, my dear. You're not alone in your tears. 'Cause I will love you in a letter. Fold it into a plane and fly it back to you someday. I'll fly it back to you. I will love you in a letter, fold it into a plane and fly it back to you someday. I'll fly it back to you.